Amen. It is so good to see all of you this morning. Been real excited about being back in the Lord's house and looking at the study that we've been looking at and what have you, kind of moving past where we've been in the book there of Ezekiel, and want to look at Romans chapter number 13, the end of it, the last, four verses there this morning is kind of where I want to be. Just been thinking a lot about the big picture of what we look at and what we see in the world today, and you look at the worldview of it, but then I think it's good that we translate that down to our personal view and what the Lord would have us to see and from His Word. And it's so good to see y'all, and any visitors we might have, we're thankful that you're here with us, and the countdown is on. I guess we're, move-in will officially start in about another week, but they'll start trickling in now, so it's on, I guess you'd say. So it's fall, will be here before you know it. You can kind of feel the fall weather out there now even. But I tell you, it's good to be here. And I'm just thankful for the Spirit and just what I've been feeling through the Lord, His confirmation, His direction. And if you'll put your trust in Him, He'll definitely lead you. It's one of those things, you have to do it by faith. And He's not just going to drag you along. You got to be willing to go along with Him. And that's where you find the blessing that's in it. Been looking a lot at things and thinking about life, and you can use the Bible in a lot of different ways, but I think a big part about pastoring or teaching or mentoring, parenting, what have you, is to teach your children, for us to teach those that are wanting to learn how to use the Bible in the right way. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man, you'll see some things here this morning I think will help us and give us an insight to how we're supposed to be. It's easy to kind of get sleepy-eyed on things. I see that a lot. As a pastor, you want every Sunday to top last Sunday. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't believe in any bye weeks or anything like that. You want it to keep getting better and better and better. And you talk to people, and I know there's concerns and things out there, but I want you to know that you can have a victorious life in the Lord. That's what He wants us to have. In the face of adversity, in the face of hardship and things that come on, there's still that daily walk where you get your strength from the Lord. And that's what we have to look at, have to keep the eyes on the prize and not get sleepy. So I'm going to read this morning, and we'll get right into it. And I'm not trying to rush anything, but just again excited about what the Lord has for us. So in Romans chapter number 13, I want to look at verses 11 through 14 there at the very end. If you look at the subscription, maybe in your Bible, this is talking about in relation to government overall, the chapter Romans 13 there. But these last few verses, I think, really should bring our vision, bring our attention to a certain thing here after we've been talking so much about the worldview and Russia, Sudan, Iran, Israel, everything. But you bring it all right back down to where we live today, and that's what you'll see this morning. What you see in verse number 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. God, I thank you for those who are able to be here with us today. God, those who may be listening online. And God, we just want your will to be done. God, always try to pray and seek what you'd have for us, Lord. You laid Romans 13 on my heart earlier this week, God, and I'm just trusting you with it. God, I pray that you just guide my mind, help me to speak clearly, confirming you, God, and I just appreciate all that you do for us, God. I appreciate the guidance that you give and the ability to be able to trust in it, God. But again, God, my heart and my mind, God, help us here today. Help us all, each one, to gain from this message what you'd have us to see. Help us all to find our place in it, God. I believe there's a place for every one of us in every message if we're willing to look for it and praying for it and seeking and asking for it, God. I know you give it to us. God, I just pray you fulfill what you'd have this morning. God, we
pray for those that are lost. God, I pray that you help them and convict them, Lord. And those who are seeking this morning, God, those who need that special nudge, that special touch, God, I pray you give it to them. God, we pray for those who are sick in our church and not able to be here. So many, God, facing so many things, and Lord, hard things. And I just pray, God, that you uplift their hearts, uplift their spirits, and help them, God, and help us here today, Lord. Be with us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So again, we've been kind of looking at the worldview, and I think it's good for us to sometimes come back down to our view, what we need to see and what the Lord would have us to see, and not get lulled to sleep over into anything. And, you know, it's kind of concerning to me when I talk to Christians and people talk, and I get it. We have feelings. We are human beings. Jesus Christ, being a human being, he had feelings, emotions, and I get that. I absolutely get that. And if we're not careful, we'll let our emotions lead us and guide us when we should actually be following the will of God and his word and following him in faith. And it's, again, not just the trusting of the heart. It's a trusting of what God has given to us in his word and being willing to follow it. And as you see this coming down here, verse number 11, and that knowing the time. The last few weeks, that's exactly what we were talking about, signs of the times, and what we see in the world today, all the different things that are coming along. And I believe with all my heart that things are winding down and getting closer to winding up. I believe that. I don't think anybody would be against that or go against me saying that. But at the same time, as time goes on and on and on, like Paul's saying, you know, Paul thought things was winding down in his day some 2,000 years ago. So it'd be easy for us to kind of think, well, that's just been said on and on and on. If we're not careful, we'll fall asleep. I want you to know this morning, we should be more passionate today about the things of God than the day that we got saved. Amen. I believe that. As we get closer to the end, I say that, the closer to things winding up, whether that be the rapture or the end of our life, we should be more and more excited, more and more committed to that. We talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night, about being committed, committing things to the Lord, giving things to him, trusting him with it, and being excited about what he's going to do with it, not anything that we think we can do. But if we're not careful, it's easy to fall in and just kind of fall asleep. And what we see here, and the reason I say that, Paul put this here for a reason. It's easy. Maybe the weather make you a little sleepy. Maybe you're too busy with things and staying busy. I think that's kind of one of the guises or things that the devil uses. If he can keep you busy, then he can keep you tired. And if you're tired, then you get what? Sleepy. I'll tell you, last night I got awful sleep. I think Brandy was talking to me. She started laughing. I woke up. I said, "What are you laughing about?" She said, "I was talking to you. I was listening. I don't know what she said. I was sleepy." It was one of those busy days. You just had a lot of things to do. You know how Saturdays can be. And I thought about this, part of this here. I was like, but I worked all day. I wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. I was doing what I needed to be doing and doing this and doing that. But by the time I sat down, I got real sleepy. That's what happens in church, I think, sometimes. We sit. Maybe we need to stand up in church more often. What do you think? Hey, they have those verse desks at work. You got, you know, so you get your standing. Maybe we just need to start standing in church. That's a good thing, isn't it? Bible says a lot about standing. You know, nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, if it's cold outside, rainy outside, you come inside and you get tired, you're already tired, and you get a little sleepy, that's what happens. I think that's why the devil likes you to stay busy on things that he wants you to be busy with. If he can keep you tired, I tell you, he'll use that to his advantage. He'll use what he can. But what Paul is warning us here is saying this, and knowing the time, knowing that how things are, now it's high time to wake out of sleep, not be sleepy. Now's not a time to be sleepy-eyed. And I'm not saying that we are, but I'm telling you, there should be a fervency and excitement, a spiritual excitement. I'm not talking about emotionalism, but a spiritual excitement about what the Lord is doing and how he is moving. I don't know what he's going to do next. I never know. But I'm always trying to look. That's what I was saying last week. I'm not setting my watch by anything to say when he's coming back, but my eyes are absolutely locked on him to see what he's going to do next. He's leading us and he's guiding us in different ways if we're willing to follow him and be committed to him. And then it says right here, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. August 14th, 1988. That's the day I got saved. The reason I remember the date is I wrote it down in my Bible. That doesn't mean I'm any more saved than anybody that didn't write it down. I'm just telling you, that's how I remember. And I'm glad I can remember that and have that, but that's many years ago. I remember when the Lord, when he was dealing with me about preaching, I was thinking, Lord, you're going to come back before I can preach my first message. I felt that urgency. But yet, we're still here. But you know, the thing about it is, just by the course of time, we are much closer today than we've ever been before. We have a better chance than anybody in history to see the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just by the course of time. So when I think about it like that, I don't want to be asleep. I remember preachers years ago preaching about being out and being places you shouldn't be when the Lord comes. You know, that used to scare me. I'm getting older now. I just want to be awake when he comes back. Amen. I mean, think about it. That used to concern me. Think, you know what? Yeah, I might need to be watching where I'm going. I might need to be watching who I'm running with. And as a professing Christian, I don't want to be in a mess when he returns. The best way to not be in a mess is being awake and be looking for it. Actively engaged in the work of God and what he has. And I'm telling you, when I say it's important to stay close to him, I mean it with every fiber of my being. It's that important. Verse number 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Find that very interesting. Because if you read this, you know he's talking to believers. He's not talking to non-believers when he's saying this here. So should it not be, when I read these verses and I think, well, how am I going to preach this to the church? They're going to think, well, preacher, that's just obvious. That's just obvious that the child of God shouldn't be caught up in no mess. But yet the Bible in many places reminds us not to be. You see, the thing about it is, Paul knows. He knows his flesh or knew. And the Lord, he faced it so he would know what we deal with. He's not touched with our infirmities, our weaknesses. He knows what the flesh is like. But we're constantly reminded of these things. But yet, are we listening to it? Are we actually obeying it and listening to it? Think about the works of darkness. These bodies, I tell you, these bodies and these minds get wrapped up in a lot of mess. And it's easy to be contentious. It's easy to be argumentative. It's easy to be critical about things. But I tell you, that's not where the Lord wants us to be. The title this morning is to put on Jesus Christ. To put on Jesus Christ. He wants us to put him on. He's not talking about things that we think are right by way of tradition or we've just always done this. It's talking about putting on the mind of Christ is what he's going to be talking about or what we're talking about here by the end of this message. And I want you to see that. But the night is far spent. I tell you, you can look at that as one of two ways. You can say, praise the Lord, or oh no. I tell you, when you think about night, that's the darkness of time. That's when usually a lot of bad stuff happens. People try to do things normally at night because they don't think people can more easily see them. A lot of meanness goes on. Remember Uncle Eddie, we're talking, both worked in law enforcement, and you know, he'd always say, it ain't good to be out at night. That's when meanness takes place, and that's true. But the way this world is going, there's a lot of meanness that takes place in the middle of the day, too. That's just kind of the way the world has changed and being more accepting of things. And there's this idea maybe that putting on Jesus was being more tolerant of things. But I want to tell you, Jesus is not tolerant of any sin. He's not tolerant of that. But how we deal with people, that's just so, so important. Going somewhere this morning, just follow me. I want us to see that. And one of the things that we see here again, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You think about light. Light and darkness cannot coexist together. You have one or the other. And even a small light will light up the path greatly, even in darkness. The darker the path is, that little light, it'll shine. It helps us to be able to see things better. The only time you would want to not have light is when you're trying to hide something. That's just the raw facts of it. When the closer you get to God, the more light that he brings to a situation, and you can either tolerate that or you can't. And that's when you start having to be truthful with yourself.
or try to lie to yourself. People are kind of in a place that they're okay with lying to themselves if it makes them feel better. Try to justify things. Justify not forgiving somebody, or justify why you feel a certain way. But, you know, the reality of it is we need to justify things based off the Word of God. That's what brings us together. I don't know how many people's here this morning, but there's that many different wheels here this morning. Nobody here will agree 100% on everything. Nobody. Nobody. But I tell you what, as you become unified and you become a member, a body member, the member of Jesus Christ, he anticipates us and expects us to grow closer and closer. And the only way we can do that is to get closer and closer with the Word of God. That's the only way. That's what brings us together. Or, likewise, that's what separates us. There's people who do not choose to go with the Word of God, and that's their choice. But that's a separating factor. It's not that God done the separating. The person's mind decided to go in a separating fashion. But you look at Ephesians, chapter number 4, verses 17 through 23. I thought this was really good. When you look at these two different things that we're talking about here, talking about how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to be. You say, well, how can I walk honestly? How am I supposed to put on Jesus Christ? What does that look like? I think it's good to give examples, and not examples based off of my opinion, but examples based straight out of the Word of God. That's what will line us up the way we're supposed to be lined. But you see here, we're supposed to put off the old man. You know, you probably heard this preached many times, but it's the truth. There's a lot of new men walking like the old man, and God would not have it to be that way. You say, well, how is that? You know, I think sometimes that's why people toil with things like, have I been saved or not? Like you have no choice in the matter. Like you say, a saved person wouldn't do this. No, I tell you, a saved person can do a lot of things he's not supposed to. But once you get converted and convicted in the Word of God and you start following after Jesus, you put Jesus on, that's a different story right there. You have some self-control. You start having the ability to stop and be patient and think and not let the flesh react. I tell you, the flesh will get every single one of us in this room. I can get worked up on things. I can. I'll be honest with you. Things can make my blood boil, and if I let this go, buddy, it'll say about anything. I'm just going to be honest with you. And truth be told, you're the same way. You're the same way. We might have different thresholds, but it's the truth. I tell you, I come from a background. I tell you, my grandpa saw mom smiling. My grandpa, man, he could, just like that, man, he'd be mad. Aunt Brendan, what would he say in just a few minutes? I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He'd come back that quick, and I tell you, I got it honest. I'd say most of us did. I remember he liked to watch wrestling, all that kind of stuff. But when the news was on, you'd be quiet. There's no talking when the news is on. Oh, man, he got mad at me one night. I was down the floor playing, and he said, if you're going to tell the news, we're going to turn this one off. He got mad, man. He got mad. So it's like, I'm sorry, Paul. He said, come up here, baby. Help get my lap, you know. That's just how it is. But I'm telling you, nobody here is immune without consciously thinking about things and putting on Jesus Christ. You'll fall for it. You'll regret it. You'll say things you wish you hadn't have said. You'll do things you wish you hadn't have done, and you'll immediately look back sorrowful because of that. It takes patience. I think that's why we're reminded so many times in the Word of God that just because a person has accepted Christ and is saved, that doesn't make you perfect. That doesn't make this flesh perfect. This flesh is not going to be perfect. The inner man is sealed until the day of redemption, and I believe that wholeheartedly. You can't lose that. But this flesh is something to contend with until you lay it down. And that's what Paul is reminding us here in Ephesians 4, 17 through 23. And it says here, in relation to the former life, but it says, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind. So that's when you start trying to justify things in and of yourself, saying it's okay. It's okay. You know, I'm not perfect, and this is my nature. Like I was saying, it's just my nature. That's just how Jason is. That's just how this person is. You see, no. When you've accepted Christ, you've been adopted into a new nature, a new family. And that's what he's saying. He said, having the understanding darkened,
being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, remaining in a blind state. It's that dark state where people are not willing to open their eyes, go to the light, and see what the Lord would have them to see, who being past feeling. You know, that's a very scary thing right there, that a person could be so callous that they stop feeling. They start having stop having compassion on other people, stop being able to feel for other people because they get so wrapped up in their own world, wrapped up in their own thing. And I tell you, people are bad to fall into this state of I'm the victim. And when a person falls into that state, I've seen it, maybe you have too. When a person falls into that state of being a victim, it's very hard to get them out. Because they're a victim in everything thereafter. Anything that doesn't go their way, they're a victim. Somebody done them wrong. It's not that it was not God's will. It's always somebody done me wrong. Somebody's out to get me. And let me tell you, that's no way to live. God doesn't want us to live that way. When we pray for the Lord's will, and even if it doesn't go the direction we thought we wanted it to go, that still doesn't mean that it's not His will. And I've never seen the Lord take something. I'm just saying in my life, very blessed. I've never seen the Lord take something that what He didn't replace it with, it wasn't better. And I get ashamed sometimes, even today. Lord, I thought it was going to be like this. And it don't happen that way. But then later, see what He replaced it with. And I was like, I should have known. I should have known. My Father loves me and He's looking after me and trying to take care of me. But again, we come on down having the understanding darkened, being alienated of the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Once a person stops trying to put on Jesus Christ, stops putting Him on, all they have left is the flesh. And the flesh wants what it wants. And it never stops. It's never enough. That's something I want you to see and understand. I don't care what it is, if it's money, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, when the flesh is turned over to it, it's never enough. There's no self-control in the flesh. I want you to know that. There is no self-control in the flesh. See, Jesus teaches us self-control. And we see down here, verse number 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, that ye have heard of Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." And He's teaching here and saying that if you're not following Christ, you're following the flesh, and it's just deceitful lust. More, more, more. And you talk about a loop and a place that you don't want to go to. You don't want to go that route. It's not fulfilling. The eyes are always trying to take in more. The body is always wanting more. But what we see here, and just stay there. If you're there in Ephesians, just stay there. But I'm going to read this here and go on through it. So back in Romans, so 12 again, it says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of the darkness and let us put on the armor of light." So I looked at that just a little bit, thinking about the armor of light and what that means. So if you're in a dark place and you can't see what's going on, you're stumbling around. You're tripping around. You're falling around. You have really no protection. The faster you walk, the faster you might run into something you shouldn't run into. You're not protected. That's a sad thing condition to be in. And that's a person that's not following Christ, that's the condition they're in, a lost person. It's hard to remember what it was like being lost. For me today, I think about that. I try to remind myself and think back, well, what was that like? When you try to deal with somebody that's lost, well, how was I at that time? Yeah, it's vulnerable. You can't see. People are talking to you and trying to explain things to you. You see a service, people raise their hands, people start shouting, and the lost person says, I don't understand what that's about. You couldn't. The Spirit's not there. But when that Spirit's there, you have this light, you have this knowledge that you didn't have before. And that's what he's talking about here. He's saying, get away from these things of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's where you can see. That's where things are made known. The thing about when you get near the light, it exposes not what just everybody else is into, but it exposes what you're into as well.
It's a two-way street. Even though that flashlight might be pointed a certain way, guess what? You can still see a little bit all the way around. It affects everybody. Light affects everybody, not just what it's pointed at. Remember that. You'll see where I'm going with this.
Remember that. And think about that. But if we come down again, I want to read verses 24 through 27 back in Ephesians 4. So verse 24, and it says, "And that you put on the new man." That's how you and I are supposed to act. When a person has accepted Christ, the old man goes away. That's a conscious decision that you make. You don't go to the same old places. You don't act the same old way. "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now see, that should be appealing to the spirit. A person who's accepted Christ, that should be appealing. Not saying, "Well, that's not fun. I don't want to live like that." Well, I tell you, that inner man will thrive that way, or he will be suffering if you do not. Verse 25, "Wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Now, should any Christian be told that you're not supposed to lie? Think about that, Brother Tim. Isn't that something? He's talking to saved people here. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me what I see when I read this and I think back. Well, my goodness, well, yeah, I know. I know I'm not supposed to lie. I was even taught that before I accepted Christ. I know I'm not supposed to lie. But you know, people still do. Saved people still do. Isn't that something to think about? How these bodies are. "Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." That means if I'm lying, I'm hurting you and I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting my testimony. It's important that we do these things the way God says to do it. Be willing to talk to one another. When we refer to one another as brothers and sisters, it's for a reason. We're a family. We're in the family of God. It says here, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place unto the devil." Don't give any opportunity. I tell you, there's things in this world that if it didn't make you mad, I'd worry about you. There's things we see that we can't go along with. You and I can't go along with. The Bible says every wind of doctrine. We're not expected to. There's things that are absolutely going to make us mad, but how we respond is what the Lord is looking at. And how we respond to one another, our brothers and sisters, and how we deal with them. That's a very important thing. And it says again, neither give place to the devil. I find this very interesting because as you get down to verse number 13, it says again, let us walk honestly as in the day. These two chapters go hand in hand with one another. It's amazing to me how the Lord lines things up. He said, let's walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting, that means excessiveness, and drunkenness, I think we know what that means. Again, intoxication, not supposed to walk that way. Not in chambering, that's immodest behavior. Isn't it amazing, all these things are in the Bible that we should know we're not supposed to do, but people do. That affects your walk with God. If you're a child of God, that'll affect your walk with God. Not in chambering, not in wantonness, that means without restraint. I think that's probably one of the biggest things I see and think about in the world today and in Christians today is a lack of restraint. There should be a restraint on every front. There should be. I think that is a true mark of being a Christian, is when a person has the ability to say no to something and not just go along with it. I said this maybe a couple of weeks ago. But I think it's important to say it again. I think we get so wrapped up in what other people think that we don't want to offend and hurt people's feelings so much that we'll be shaking our head yes when we should be shaking it no. Like, no, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. And you can disagree with somebody in love. There's nothing wrong with that. Because a child of God cannot go along with everything. I'll be honest, a child of God can't go along with most things. Because if somebody else is out of the will of God and they're trying to pull you along that path, watch out that if you're not willing to say no, they'll pull you right along in that path. You know, if I was standing here this morning and I was the only one saying a certain thing and every single one of you was saying an opposite thing, the likelihood of you coming over to me is very far slim versus me going over to your room. I see it all the time. People I wouldn't think would maybe a change in some ways or what have you, they do. It's that constant influence, that constant grind.
you're not committed in your heart, you're not committed in your mind, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. People who you surround yourself with. That's why it's important to support one another and help one another. And to know, again, wantonness, being able to have self-control and not in strife and not in envying. You know, that's one of the things you see, strife. That means contention for superiority. I think that's probably the number one thing I see today. People want control. I don't care what it is. In the church, at work, at home, there's a fight for control. I see it all the time, and I think that's where this constant contention is. And here's the thing. This is what's interesting. I don't know why the Lord lines up things the way he does, but he does. But what happens is people will try to use the word of God to prove their points sometimes. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, I want us to see something and understand this. I love analogies, and the Lord gave this to me, I don't know, 3 o'clock this morning. I woke up, and it's the first thing on my mind. It's funny how that is. I just credit the Lord for that. So, I remember one year, and I don't know if Mom and Dad remember it or not, but I remember one year, I can't remember how old I was, probably middle school age, something like that. And I can't remember if I asked for it, maybe I did, and you know, around Christmas time, what would you like or what have you, and I can't remember if I asked for it or not, but I got a tool set, a toolbox. And I thought, man, this is neat. It was a good one. I mean, you open it up, and it had all kinds of tools in there. A little bit of everything. You guys remember that? I didn't know if you would or not. I remember it. Hey, I'm going somewhere with it. So I got a toolbox, and then I got other toys and things like that. I think I had a couple of remote control cars, but I wanted to use that toolbox, Brother Terry. I wanted to use it. You know how much training I had to use the toolbox? None. This is back before any kind of tech class or anything like that, but I wanted to fix something. Something was going to get fixed. I think I remember going around downstairs in the basement, just kind of looking around with my toolbox and kind of carrying it around, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to do something. I want to see what this fits, and that's what I started doing. I had a Phillips screwdriver in there, had ratchets and things, and I had these two new remote control cars I got for Christmas. I thought, well, I guess that's it. I think Brother Rodney might be here. I was going to tell him about my mechanicking skills. So Brother Curtis started taking them apart. I was just taking it apart, and I took these wheels off and had all these parts laying there, and the screws were kind of messed up. And I was like, gosh, I don't even know what screws go back to which car. How am I going to get this thing back together? So I thought, well, I'll have fun with this. I'll make one supercar. So I put the different tires on it and all this kind of stuff. And I'd be honest with you, I think I just tore them up more than anything. I don't think they ever worked again after that. But I thought, man, this is great. This is awesome. And then I felt bad because I tore all this stuff up. But I had this toolkit. I mean, it was a good toolkit. It had more than what I needed in it. It far surpassed what I could do with it. But I went around seeing what might fit to see if I could just take it apart, see what it looked like. In my head, I'm fixing it. I said, preacher, how in the world does that mean anything? How does that add up with anything? Verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're not supposed to fulfill the lust of the flesh, do anything with the flesh like that, but if you're not truly following Jesus, if you haven't truly put him on, that's what you're going to do. And this is why. What we do with the Word of God, if we're not careful, is this a toolkit? Would you say this is a toolkit? I look at the Word of God as the best toolkit that you could ever have. The problems that you have, the problems that you're going to face in the workplace, the problems that you're going to face in church, in your personal life, in your home life, in your financial life, the answers are there. But here's the thing. If you take this and you don't know how to use it, all you're doing is taking things apart. You know how many people have been taken apart with this right here by somebody that didn't know how to use it? Think about that. I want you to think. This isn't for the novice. Now you get in and you start learning where you can. That's when you start asking God to give you discernment, give you help, and to show you the different context of what's in this toolkit. You don't just take it and just start taking things apart. I've seen people do that. I've seen people take the Word of God and tear people down. Is that what this is for? Do you think that was the intent of this toolkit when God gave it to us? Now, men, you get up there and you tear everybody you can down. You think think that's what this is supposed to do? That's all a novice can do with it. Take a little here, take a little piece, a tool out here, and a little ratchet out here, screwdriver here, and just tinker here, tinker. That's not how the Word of God is supposed to be used. You take the whole counsel of it. That means you're supposed to be versed in it and know what it means. And the only way anybody's going to do that is spending time in it. Learning what it means to do these things. Now, I will tell you this. The rightful use of any toolkit is to put things together and to fix things, not to tear things apart and leave it broken. You know, you see this here, and I think about it. I think about different things in life. Now, here's the hard part. Is the other person willing to listen to this or not? That's up to the other person. Think about pastoring a whole lot. I think about it like this. It's my responsibility to learn how this works, how to use it, and then how to help you in your life with it. The hard part about that is I can only go that far. You have to be willing to do what the Word of God says. You have to be willing to listen to it and be willing to follow it. I want you to see the importance of that. But it says here again, it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm going to close with this. I just thought this is interesting how the Lord puts this together. But you know what provision is? That's being prepared. If you're getting ready to go on a trip or something, you think, what all do I need? And then you probably get double that just in case, right? Think about going to the beach, you know, you get sunscreen and all that kind of stuff, and you think about all the extra things. When you start providing or think about provision, you think about having all the things that you need and thinking about things you probably won't need it, but you want to have it anyway, right? And then you think about all the Dollar Generals you pass on the way. You really didn't need to pack hardly anything. All that stuff's out there everywhere. But you think about that. What the Word of God teaches us here, when you start making provision, you make provision for the inner man. This is talking about putting on Jesus. This is what it's talking about. You put in all the Word of God that you can. That's what putting on Jesus looks like. Not walking like the old man, walking like the new man. And you put that on, then it says when it comes down to your flesh, you know what it says? You provided nothing. Zero. And that's something to think about. Well preacher, if you don't have anything to provide for the flesh and the wants and the wantness of the flesh, then it's going to starve. Amen. That's the goal. That's what putting on Jesus means. When Jesus went to the cross, you know what he did? He starved out the flesh. Because he knew. He knew what the flesh was getting ready to go through. But he knew it had to happen for you and me. He was willing to go surpass that. He was willing to go past that for you and me. The whole idea here is that our flesh dies. You know what dies along with your flesh? Your pride. That's a biggie. People will fight for pride day and night. Well, I was right. People will fight for that till they die. You think about pride. You think about competitiveness. You think about all kinds of things. You think about criticalness. See, all that has to die. You know how hard that is in the face of adversity? If the other person isn't willing to do the same thing, you know how hard that is? It's hard to lay that down when somebody else isn't willing to. But if you put on Jesus Christ, you're going to lay it down regardless of what anybody else does. And I tell you, you think about being the bigger person or what have you, this goes way beyond that. Putting on Jesus Christ isn't putting on this is what we've always done. This isn't putting on tradition. It's putting really on Jesus Christ and what you learn and do through him every single day. That's a living, breathing relationship. Not something that you find in a stone tablet. That's written on the fleshly hearts of human beings who's been regenerated by Jesus Christ. That's what a new relationship with him is like. But I'm going to stop there this morning. I want you to think about that. Put on Jesus Christ and what that means this morning. But if you will, stand with me. I'll ask the ladies to come to the instruments. We'll have a time of invitation. Father, we come to you this morning, God, just so thankful for another opportunity.